D-Mace Van Gendonic 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whenever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. One more day without Derek. Derek will be on with Jake Lyman from 3 to 6, filling in for Jared, who is taking his 14th vacation this month. But Jared will be back in full force on Monday. We will be back at 11 a.m. in full force on Monday. Titans report to training camp on Tuesday. Football season is here. Thank goodness we've made it through the rain. Is that a Barry Manilow song?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I, you are surprised by the references that I'm able to
I'm amazed. I'm amazed every day. Like, that's 70s. That's not even 80s.
I am a...
You were born at the tail end of the 80s.
I was.
Which gives you a little bit of reference there. But the 70s, that's even more impressive.
I mean, I am a...
And now, thank you for getting that song stuck in my head the rest of the day.
I am a voracious reader. But I don't have a lot of time to sit down and read books until the summertime. So usually what I do is I find 3 or 4 books. And then I buy them all at once, and then I read them over the course of the summer when I'm on vacation in a couple of weeks, I will. And one of the books I purchased was Hollywood High, A Totally Epic, Way Opinionated History of Teen Movies by Bruce Handy, a former Vanity Fair writer and editor, or maybe a current Vanity Fair writer and editor.
Is he related to Jack Handy, the Deep Thoughts from SNL?
I am unfamiliar, but I'm looking at the cover of this book. I see Alicia Silverstone. I see Sean Penn. I see...
Sean Penn?
I see Molly Ringwald, yeah, as...
Bad Boys?
No, from...
Jeff Spicoli?
Jeff Spicoli, yeah.
I'm not sure he was actually a teenager. How old was he in that movie? He was playing a teenager, obviously.
But... Right. I mean, how old are any of them? None of them are actually teenagers.
They take liberties with those, but the point is, I'm interested. You have me hooked in.
I'll let you borrow my copy when I'm done reading
it. This is an actual book, though, I have to
read.
Yes.
It is an actual book. Reading is fun.
I must admit, I'm not reading as many books as I did.
Reading is fun.
I read a lot, just not books.
I mean, I learned at a young age, Arthur the Aardvark taught me, having fun isn't hard when you've got a library card. I'm just saying. By the way, Josh on our text line says, when is it proper to use "and I"? Please explain, Smarty Pants.
We're gonna get the speech for all of our listeners that I got in our break room during the break, because Adam was upset with himself that he had made a grammatical error.
That I said the best question for Willie and I, which incorrect,
I would have said,
which is incorrect. So here's the rule of thumb when you're using "and I" versus "and me." Remove the other person from the sentence. So the best question for Willie and I. The best question for I. That doesn't make any sense. The best question for me. That makes sense. Hence, the best question for Willie and me. So take the other person out of it and put in either I or me. And whichever one sounds right is the one that you use.
All right.
So there you go. There's your grammatical lesson for the day, Josh. That is very true. Thank you, Homer. That is very true. So, I'm trying to find... There were a lot of really good questions. A lot of questions on the mousetrap. A lot of suggestions on the mousetrap. A lot of people have suggested, Willie, that you don't use the sticky traps because they're cruel.
Because, I know. And some people provided detail. I had not thought about that.
Yes. I'm still shaken by the fact that you don't leave out cheese. Again, I watched how many Tom and Jerry cartoons in my life? But then one texter said, "How many times did Jerry get caught?" That's true.
Jerry, that's a fair point.
I don't know that Jerry ever got caught.
Yeah.
I also remember at one point, after a certain amount of time, Tom and Jerry became friends, like in the cartoons. Mm. They were like a team. They were adversarial, the classic cat versus mouse, and Tom would get outsmarted.
Normally,
that's why they joined up and became friends.
But then they became back to enemies.
Like, Tom and Jerry are around for a long time. The older ones are definitely the classic cat versus mouse. Then they became like a team.
I prefer Itchy and Scratchy to Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, it's a little later.
Yes. Brian on our text line has a Predators rebuild question. If the Predators go into rebuild mode after this season, will they embrace it in such a way that keeps fans involved? Example, in addition to the Preds Beer Fest, can we expect a bourbon fest, a whiskey fest, a moonshine fest, a tequila fest, a fashion show like the Charlestown Chiefs, a Preds lingerie expo, a tattoo fest, etc.? Have to embrace the suck.
Okay. Honestly, if they do go into a rebuild mode, which by definition in the Daily Faceoff, if they were to have another
if
poor
they finish
year,
in the bottom 10 again this season,
which could happen,
that will start a rebuild.
That would put them technically in this definition, whether they say they are or not.
Correct.
What I would say though is they've already built the foundation. Where is Pittsburgh right now? Pittsburgh is entering into this. They are the one team that I think is more or less declared. They are, which brings up the question. Will Sidney Crosby be traded at some point? It's a huge question that they're not going to answer today.
That is a popular question.
But with the way they're going with Crosby, they're already trying to shop around Erik Karlsson, who's still good, but he's paid a lot of money. Like that core, they just can't win with that core. They know it. They've also traded over the years so many draft picks that they don't have a great farm system. They're trying to rebuild their farm system now. The thing that the Predators have going for them is that they've already built layers of a farm system that you hope, look, there's no guarantee that the farm system turns into what you want it to be at the NHL level, but they're giving themselves every chance with all of these picks that they've accumulated over the last few years, right? So in theory, that would set them further ahead in a rebuild than sliding down, like what the Islanders are facing right now. Now, they just won the lottery, which is going to help them, so they got the first overall pick. So maybe that's not the best example, but you see what I'm saying. Sometimes there's a longer slide down, and it takes even longer to build back up because you've completely eradicated your farm system to try to win in the moment. The Predators have already started that process 2 or 3 years ago, accumulating picks. And even before that, David Poile did hang on to his draft picks. They picked in 2020, like Askarov and guys like that. They didn't trade those picks. They have LaRue. They have Svechkov. That's going back to when the team was even making the playoffs.
We had a caller the other day when we were discussing this topic. He said, my son is not going to sign up for 8.5 years of bad hockey.
Yeah.
But also mentioned, the Predators need to do stuff that's worth our while to make us come to the games if they're going to be bad.
So the lingerie night that he's talking about, maybe that's what he's... I'm joking, but...
Yes.
But that is the business part of it.
Right.
Is how do you string together all those years where you're just telling the fans, be patient, we're picking first, we're picking second. I am really curious in a market like Chicago how long they're able to sustain. They've done a pretty good job sustaining, I think, a pretty decent game night atmosphere. They whipped the Predators. The Predators had won a ton of games in Chicago over the last few years. They finally got beat. It was the first time that the Blackhawks had beaten the Predators at the United Center in a while, and it was an ugly game. But it was late in the season. Both teams were woefully out of it. They had a pretty good crowd. So it's not like when I first started going on the road with the team in the mid-2000s, and the Blackhawks, that's a really big place, the United Center. It's a great place. But, man, was it empty back then. Before the days of Kane and Taves, they didn't televise the games. They had poor ownership. That was brutal. So right now they're still living off of the dynasty, however many years it's been now, and they're not out of it anytime soon. But they've been able to hang in there with their crowds. And I don't know, I'm not sure how they're doing that, especially remember there was that whole scandal that hit them as well that has not, you know, had all their fans staying away from that building. They've done a pretty reasonable job of people still coming to the games.
The question is Nashville the type of city that can endure a lengthy rebuild? We were talking about the Titans earlier in the show. The Predators, again, when we went through this exercise on Daily Faceoff, the Predators, by the definition laid out by the author of the story, the Predators have never rebuilt in the salary cap era. And I am curious if we are the type of city that can still support a team if things don't go well for several years. Now, to Predators fans' credit, The games I attended last season at home, obviously, Willie, you attended nearly all of them, if not all of them. The crowds were still good. The crowds were still invested.
I was impressed.
So it's one thing if it's, hey, it was a down year, we still love our team, we're going to come out and support them. But if what we saw last season continues for the next couple of years, or maybe they're not as bad as they were last year, but they're still out of the playoff picture, you know, how long can that be sustained, that interest? Yeah. I mean, that's a question that all markets, all teams have to ask themselves during down periods in their trajectory. But the Predators specifically really haven't had the type of season we saw last season, except in the very early days of the franchise.
Right, and that was really not a rebuild. That was the early build, and it had to be slow because the way the rules were, there was no other way to do it. But yeah, I think sometimes the fan base here, they can't know what the rebuild would be like. It's hard to really fathom five years on the shorter end of the 8.5 years that this study did, that it takes. 8.5 years, that's unbelievably long. You hope it wouldn't take that long. But even 4 or 5 years, that's something that no Predator fan can say that they've endured, right? They've never gone that far. Yeah, there's been frustration of losing in the first round of the playoffs and all that, but that's still, making it to the playoffs is still fun and has you walking out of that building with great moments and successes, and we shouldn't take that for granted. Where when you go through a full rebuild and you know at the start of the season you're probably not going to make the playoffs or even be close, that's something that no Predators fan can really fathom because you haven't been through it. Just like when people talk about UC Soros is, oh man, UC Soros is making a lot of money. Oh man, he's not that good. It's in the perspective of a Predator fan. You've never seen what it's like to have bad goaltending. So UC Soros, to me, gets taken for granted on how good he has been. Oh, he hasn't won the playoffs. Look at how many teams would do anything to have a goalie like UC Soros or Pekka or Chris Mason, Thomas Fokun. They've always had really good goalies for 25 years. They've never gone through a long stretch where they can't find the goalie. So these are the things that are unique to Nashville, but I think it's a really good question of could they do it? Well, our city's bigger, right? The city has grown so much in the last 10, 12 years, and it's not going to shrink anytime soon. You have more people that could fill the seats, but I think you would pay a price for sure.
Why don't we ask that question to all of you at 615-737-1025? How accepting do you think Nashville as a city would be to a lengthy rebuild, whether it's the Predators or the Titans? Is our city a strong enough sports city that fans will stick it through with their teams through the hard times if it ultimately leads back to something much better?
And so let's talk about the Titans and their history. They've had some rebuilds that they have endured, correct? The post Derek Mason, Steve McNair, Eddie George Titans, that was a rebuild that lasted three full years of not being very good. And then for the next 2 years, they had some good, very good teams. So that was one rebuild, if you call that a rebuild, right? An NFL-style rebuild, 3 years, right? They did a pretty good job of getting through that. The franchise was still relatively new, and the stadium was in pretty good shape back then. Then there was let's call it the post Jeff Fisher, right? That was a rebuild. And that was a little longer, right? 2010 through before Malarkey had the 1 year, 2010 through 2015. That was a pretty long drought.
The Titans missed the playoffs every season between 2009 and 2016.
Right. In 2009, you were coming off of
13-3
and a one seed. So that certainly wasn't that was a shockingly bad turn. And then for another year, maybe you thought you could get out of it. They didn't. Then Jeff Fisher was gone. and they hit the dregs for a while. They had the one odd season where Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback, and they were 9-7, I think, surprisingly, but that really wasn't close to the playoffs. So that was a long drought. They got through it, but it was there were some Sundays where it was pretty easy to get a ticket, especially to that stadium. They didn't do a very good job of keeping the stadium up. The other team's fans really started to come in. They had a whole ticket thing where the ticket brokers, they were fudging on the numbers. So they paid a pretty big price during that time, the pre-Vrabel era.
615-737-1025. How accepting do you think our city, our wonderful city of Nashville, would be to a lengthy rebuild for either the Predators or the Titans? 615-737-1025. We will hit that on the other side. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan here with you. We will take it to the bank coming up in a few minutes. I do also, before the show ends, I do want to pay tribute to our friend, our co-host, Derek Mason, as he enters the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this weekend. And Derek will be on with Jake Lyman today from 3 to 6, filling in for Jared. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled time of 11 o'clock on Monday. Titans report for training camp on Tuesday. Get excited. So here's the question I have for all of you at 615-737-1025. How accepting do you think Nashville as a sports city would be if the Titans and Predators entered lengthy rebuild? Now, Willie, as we discussed earlier this week, at least according to Daily Faceoff, you could argue that the Predators have never rebuilt. They missed the playoffs their first five seasons, but again, they were an expansion franchise in the late 90s. They did not have the advantages that the Vegas Golden Knights did.
And there was no salary cap in a very small market.
Right. By my incredibly quick math, between 2004, when the Predators made the playoffs for the first time in franchise history, and 2024, when the Predators made the playoffs and lost in the first round to the Vancouver Canucks, the Predators missed the playoffs four times. 2009, 2013, 2014, and 2023. Now they have missed the playoffs two of the past 3 years. But the Predators have consistently been, depending on your definition of competitive, they have been a playoff team.
Right. And contrast
for the better
that,
part of two decades.
The Sabres haven't made the playoffs once in 14 years.
Right.
So before you give me the, well, everybody makes the playoffs. That's not true. There are at least, what, 8 or 10 teams that have gone at least the last 4 or 5 years without making the playoffs once in these rebuilds, these teams that are currently in the rebuild.
I just remember, and I'm sure all of you remember this too, back in 2017 when the Predators upset the Blackhawks in the first round of the playoffs and the fans left Bridgestone Arena that night. They were jumping up and down on the smash car in the plaza of Bridgestone Arena. And those outdoor watch parties that started at the park across the street, they eventually took over the entire street, Broadway, filled to the gills for watch parties for the Stanley Cup Final. All of you were wearing those Nash hats. Remember the Nash hats? Do people still wear those?
Nash or even Smash?
Yes, there was the Smash version, but also the Nash version.
Right.
It was the hottest item, the hottest clothing item in Nashville.
I have one in my closet.
I did not have a Nash or a Smash hat. But I wondered, because I was covering the team at the time, I wondered, is this sustainable? Are the people who filled Broadway to cheer on the Predators in the Stanley Cup Final, are they going to come back in October? Or is it just a fad? Like, hey, the coolest thing to do in Nashville right now is to buy a Smash hat and go to Broadway. You may not be a hockey fan, but it's the place to be. It's the place to be seen. And I knew that it wasn't going to reach those heights again the following season. But the thing with sports fans, most sports fans, not diehard sports fans are fickle. That a lot of you, when the team is winning, you're interested. When the team is not, you're not. That's just the way it is. So I will be curious to see how patient fans will be. Jeremy in Clarksville says, I think the Predators would weather a rebuild better than the Titans. Football fans don't deal well with losing seasons. Joey from Bellevue says, I'll be a fan for both Titans and Preds, even if they are rebuilding. I go to the games when it's within my budget. I have season tickets to Nashville SC, so I can only budget a few games. Being a soccer guy from Germany, my team for 30 years has had many ups and downs. I develop a love for the team. You learn to appreciate the good seasons when you endure seasons the Preds and the Titans just had.
That is a very sensible, loyal mentality that every sports business and sports organization hopes that there's a lot of that person, right?
Joe is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Joe, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. The beauty is for ownership of both sports is no matter what, they're going to benefit. Because it's what I've always said, with the NFL, there's only 8 home games a year. And you take a place like Nashville, which is a major destination nationally now, you know. For example, I got the Patriots that come in here in the fall. I got like a half a dozen buddies that are coming down for the game. And as far as hockey's concerned, once people have adopted hockey and understand the game, I mean, you see, they're going to, it's always a great ticket to go see hockey live. So ownership's all set either way. Winning cures everything. So you never have to worry with the Titans with only 8 home games. And as far as the Preds are concerned, it's a great ticket. And you know what? It doesn't take a rebuild. Even if they can make a decent run, even a round into the playoffs, it'd be great. Guys, love the show. Thanks so much for taking the call. Have a great weekend.
You as well, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. I think he hit on one thing that's, I wouldn't say unique to Nashville, but Nashville is among the higher end cities of, you have the fallback of a lot of people coming in, making a trip to Nashville, staying downtown. It's so easy. You experience the wackiness, the nuttiness of the nightlife, the music, and you go see your favorite team play. You know, that is, I think both franchises have benefited from that. The Predators have taken steps to protect their own fans, to keep their own fans in the building. That does get harder to do if you're going in a rebuild. You might have to just throw your hands up and say, we're just going to let the people from the other team buy the tickets without restrictions. We know that that was maybe the biggest thing that the Titans lost, and I still don't think they've got it back, is they lost control of who owns the PSLs. The reselling of the PSLs for people that, you know, didn't want to buy the tickets anymore, they are mostly in the hands of ticket brokers who sell the seats for the highest dollar. And most of the time, when the team's not successful, who buys those tickets? People from out of town.
Well, I vividly remember the Minnesota Vikings coming to Nissan Stadium last season and taking over the stadium. A lot of purple, a lot of
sure.
Skull, right? A lot of this. And to the caller's point, money is money for the owners. It's still going in their pockets. But it's not a great look when your home stadium is filled with opposing fans.
No. And they went through this even when they started to win under Vrabel. There was still a lot of games. You can look at the record. If you can go find the press conference, there are times when Mike Vrabel is asked a lot about, hey, what did you think of the fact that there's still a lot of teams, the other team's fans in your building. Like, he had to make statements about that. They fought that because it doesn't happen overnight. Once you lose control, it's that much harder to get it back. And by the way, when they open this new stadium, there's not any guarantee at all with the prices they're asking for that the same thing isn't going to happen. You have a chance to start it over, but they're not going into this, hey, let's get our loyal fan base back. Let's create a great atmosphere. No, they're trying to squeeze every dollar out of every seat, and you're going to see the other team's fans invade that place a lot, I'm afraid.
Let's go to Wayne on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Wayne, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm going to speak on the Preds, at least. I don't know too much about the Titans prices and stuff like that, but I live in Kansas City, and I lived in Nashville all my life, big Preds fan. But every time I try to come back to a home game, the top row is like $90 a piece. And that's just really outside of my price range. I really feel like the Preds, after that Stanley Cup run, started pricing out that normal fan. So you ran into that point of where it became a place to be seen, as you said, Adam, earlier, of it's more luxury spots, and people that are in the Lexus Lounge aren't coming back out into the arena to cheer on the team. So it's really tough for me to come back. I end up going on more road games than I do anything else because the tickets are cheaper.
Thank you for the call, Wayne. Wayne, I think, was at the grocery store. Sounded like someone was...
The checkout person?
It sounded like a checkout.
Thanks
for calling from the grocery store.
I do think that is a dilemma that starts happening, especially when a team is successful and there's more demand for your tickets. It's hard not to try to... Yeah, I mean, it is a business, right? You've got, and especially it's competitive. You're trying to drive revenue so you can pay top dollar and get to the salary cap season, you know, salary cap ceiling, which may not be something to take for granted, like it has been the last decade with the Predators. Remember, there were many years where they were a middle class team that could not, and I would stress could not, rather than would not, they could not pay to the salary cap ceiling. They just didn't have the revenue. And that has become, with the new ownership, the current ownership, a thing of the past. But with the cap rising so fast, you know, you have to build the revenue somewhere so you can get a competitive payroll out there, which I know they're going to be able to do. But let's not take for granted that wasn't always the case.
One texter says,
so you have to raise ticket prices.
If I'm downtown and want an evening's entertainment, there are a lot of good options. Preds are going to have trouble competing for eyeballs if they're consistently bad. I mean, that is one great thing about our city. There is so much to do. But I think this is interesting because you often hear, as the caller just said, the loyal fan has been priced out of going to games. And that's not a problem unique to Nashville. That happens across all sports. But it's rare, anecdotally at least, for teams to slash ticket prices. Once they go up, they don't really come back down. Maybe they'll freeze the price of tickets, but once they start increasing the prices, they don't usually decrease the prices. Although I did find a story in The Athletic from April from the Seattle Kraken, who announced a reduction in ticket prices for 80% of seats at Climate Pledge Arena. Mm. Season ticket holders will receive a 25% discount on food and beverages. A package that includes four tickets, soda, and popcorn will cost $150. Select seats at Amex Hall, the lower and upper bowls, will decrease by $56, $35, and $4 respectively per game. So, and Seattle is a new team.
Mm-hmm.
They made the playoffs one time. They were incredibly lucky to make the playoffs that one time, and they've been bad otherwise.
And not only did they make it, they pulled a huge upset.
They did.
And beat the defending champions in the first round, which had everybody salivating for, hey, they're going to be just like the
wrong,
the Golden Knights. And it hasn't been that easy. And to be honest, the league got smarter and did not allow the Kraken to capitalize on the rules. The Vegas, I think, they benefited from the league not really knowing how to do the expansion draft under the new rules. The league got a lot smarter. So the Kraken have a lot of growing pains going on right now for that reason. And I think one of the things that they had to do to get the team, they had to sell all the tickets to start. And so there was a commitment for a long time by fans to buy a certain amount of season tickets. And that is probably expiring now. So they got to keep them coming back. And the team hasn't been as good, but they've already had a taste of success. So it makes it even tougher, I think, because expectations, they're not as patient as maybe they might have been.
Robert at Nashville says,
that's a unique city and team to watch.
Robert at Nashville says, stop it. Nashville, it's a blessing and a curse. Being a destination city, people will come in for 3 days. They will watch their favorite hockey team play against the Predators or watch their favorite football team play against the Titans. Enjoy 2 to 3 nights in our amazing city, eating in our restaurants, drinking in our bars, shopping in our stores, and keeping the state income tax-free with that revenue. Enjoy what you have. I'm not saying we don't enjoy what we have.
No, I agree, but this is where a loyal fan of the team, it really burns them. And I'll give you an example. Remember when the Blackhawks had the height of their rise, and it was so trendy for Blackhawks fans to be all over the country? They were invading every building, including Nashville. And, man, it irked a lot of season ticket holders. It irked them a lot to the point where ownership said, you know what, I don't blame these guys. They actually took money out of their own pockets. The chairman at the time was Tom Sigran, and he was the guy saying, that's okay. I'll take a little less money to keep our season ticket holders and our fans wearing the gold jerseys in the building at the expense of guys paying top dollar to come in for the other teams. And it wasn't just the Blackhawks. That was by far the biggest example, but the Blues would have an occasional good year and they'd have a lot of people coming in. So it's hard to get out of that if you fall back on that. But it's a product of a rebuild. It happens a lot around the league. It's not just Nashville, but as we've talked about, Nashville is a perfect city to fly in. You're close from the airport to downtown. You get a place downtown. You stumble around for a couple of days. You see your game, and there's a lot of things to do. It's the perfect city for that. So you have to know that if you're one of the teams, the Titans or the Predators.
615-737-1025. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank, and we will also pay tribute to our friend and co-host Derek Mason as he enters the Tennessee Pro Sports Hall of Fame. Well, actually, it's the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame because there are college athletes in it as well. The Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. We will do that next. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. They are back from Atlanta. SEC Media Days has concluded. They will be live at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown from noon to 3. We will all be back at our normal time slots next week. So we will be back at 11 on Monday. Chase and Big Joe will be back at 9. Of course, Jared at 2 and Robbie and Rexrode at 6 a.m. So we will be back in our normal spots next week. But let's take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose, easy for me to say. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. Well, Willie, David, the pickings are slim, but let's have some fun. Let's take it to the bank before the end of the show. Willie, why don't you go first?
Well, I will go to what I know, and that is that Major League Baseball is back. Got some big, big games going on, 2 weeks to the trading deadline. For me, it's not a slow time of the year. I got baseball. I love it. So you got Yankees Braves this weekend in Atlanta. Look, this is a tough dilemma for me because I don't like the Yankees and I don't like the Braves. But the Braves are in the Mets division, so I find myself in a tough position where I kind of have to hope the Yankees win. So I will say, let's go with the Yankees to win 2 out of 3 against the Braves.
Okay.
That is really, really tough. Because no matter what I do, I'm going against my own judgment. It's hard to root for people. But because we live in this area and there will be people watching, I am very curious to see with the Braves, who have had all kinds of things go wrong, what they look like in the post-All-Star break. I hesitate to say second half because it's kind of a misnomer. We're past the halfway point. You've got less than half of a season. But there's still plenty of time to make a run. But I will say Yankees win the series in Atlanta. I'll also say that the Red Sox, their winning streak will come to an end, but I think I'm going to say the Red Sox will take 2 of 3 from the Cubs at Wrigley, another featured series that I think will be worth watching. Two teams playing pretty good ball right now. Cubs 57-39 on the year.
Willie's going to be that fan at the Braves Yankees series, holding up the sign that says, "I hope both teams lose."
Yes,
I will take it to the bank by saying that Willie will catch the rat this weekend. Mark it down.
God, I hope it's not a rat.
A mouse.
A mouse.
Sorry, yeah. A rodent.
Well, we're going to find out if the trap works. We'll see what ends up on that thing.
You've got all of the peanut butter suggestions.
Yes.
I've
been coached up.
Take it from our texter who works in pest control.
Yes. I might need to get that guy. Just if I need the pro to come out, if this problem persists, I'm just going to call in the pros.
Put the peanut butter on the trap, but don't set the trap so that the mouse eats the peanut butter, and then you do it again. But yeah, I'm
just hoping for the best.
I predict that on Monday at 11 o'clock, Willie's going to come in and said, "I got him."
The mouse?
Yes.
Is gone.
Yes.
You have a little too much confidence in me, I'm afraid.
I do have a lot of confidence in you. David, what about you, my friend?
You know, as a avid Cardinals fan, you know, we've had a bad month of baseball. But we will beat the Arizona Diamondbacks this week. I think they're going to win the series. It may not happen, but I have to be hopeful. That's the one thing about sports.
They've got some decisions to make.
A lot of decisions.
But because of the extra wild card, 2 weeks to the trade deadline, the Cardinals are a great example of a team very much in the race for the wild card, but how much do you want to play for the right now, and how much do you want to play the long game?
Exactly.
Like their closer, Ryan Helsley, has been talked about in that vein, right?
Yeah. He's been in there's been a lot of trade talks with him. Nato has been in a lot of talks as well. It's just, at this point, I am for whatever works. There's
even a lane where you could trade your closer or trade somebody who's a key player and still try to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
That is what teams try to do in that spot sometimes.
But all you got to be is hopeful.
Yeah. Nolan Arenado is a big name.
He's a big decision to make.
Before we go this week, I do want to pay tribute to our co-host, who's not here right now, Derek Mason, who will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports, not the Pro Sports, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow. Now, Willie, I want you to start because you have known Derek and have worked with Derek for much longer than I have. But any words for our dear friend Derek Mason as he enters the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame tomorrow?
I can't remember. Were you on the show? You were on the show when Brad Willis came in. We surprised Derek.
I somehow was able to keep that a secret. I am terrible at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
I was there, yes. We were at Barrel House.
We said a lot that day, but I will say that it is very well deserved, and I hope that there is a day where he gets better consideration, deeper consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because things evolve, right? It may not have looked as clear as maybe it does with each passing year of what he did in the context of what the league was like at the time. But this is a slam dunk for him. I just have always admired his competitiveness, the edge that he played with, the great teams that we should never take for granted, because I don't, you know, the team has really not had that run of success that they did at the very, very beginning, and he was a big, big part of it. And I always admire that Derek worked his way up. Nothing came easy for him at the pro level. And he could have just been another player who was drafted in the fourth round, had a nice couple years in the league, and can tell everybody, yeah, I played in the NFL. But he just kept getting better and better and better with age, which I think really sets him apart from a lot of people. And we've enjoyed him as a person, right? He's a good friend, and he is a guy that has reinvented himself in his post-career. He's had a lot of success in his post-career, and he's carved out a niche as a radio analyst. And so we enjoy working with him every day.
Quickly, the texter who works in pest control says, give Willie my number, please. Tell him to call me directly if he has any questions this weekend.
Boom. Boom.
That is why we love all of you.
Write it down.
That is why we love all of you. So I have had the distinct pleasure of working with Derek Mason every weekday now for nearly a year. If you can believe it, the one-year anniversary of D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick is fast approaching in September. And I knew Derek, of course, before I started working with him, but I didn't get to know him as well as I do now until I was working with him every day. And the one thing that I can absolutely tell from working with Derek is just how beloved he is by all of you. He had 8 fantastic seasons for the Tennessee Titans. And I hear it when you call and text how much you respect Derek Mason for what he did with the Tennessee Titans and how much he means to a lot of you as Tennessee Titans fans. So that really puts into perspective how important he is to the franchise and how deserving he is to be a member of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. I agree with Willie. Hopefully one day he will be a member of a different Hall of Fame that's football related. But it's been an absolute pleasure to work with Derek for the past 10 months on a daily basis. And it's been so much fun. It's been so much fun getting to know him. And again, it's been so evident how much all of you love Derek Mason, how much you recall how productive he was for the Tennessee Titans. So very happy for him. Very happy for him and his family. And I've missed working with Derek this week. Derek was out at the beginning of the week. He's been filling in with Jake Lyman on Jared's show, which he will do again from 3 to 6. I'm happy that we'll all be back together on Monday at our normally scheduled 11 o'clock. But congratulations, Derek. You absolutely deserve it. And I know all of our listeners feel the same way. So I've said my piece.
All right.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to Monday's show because we the aftermath of the ceremony and everything like that.
Yes. The texter says, my pest control company is better. Give him my number. Now we have a fight about pest control companies. Schoolyard bash. Schoolyard bash on our text line.
We need to call some of our people here.
Yes.
We can do something about that.
Yeah. I mean, whichever one of you sponsors our show will will be the one we call. How about that? You sponsor us, we'll call you. I'm always working, baby, like a professional wrestler. I'm always working. So, yes, we are very, very proud of Derek, and I'm sure he will discuss it a little bit on Stillman & Company later from 3 to 6. I don't believe he's giving a speech at the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. I believe there's a Q&A. Shea Weber will also be a part of the festivities.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
There are a lot of great athletes from our state who will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. But first and foremost, congratulations to our very own Derek Mason for his induction. But that'll do it for us this week. It's been fun being on from 9 to 12, but you know what? I'm looking forward to getting back to our normal 11 to 2. So we will be back in full force next week. Willie, Derek, David, and I will all be back next week. We will be back at 11 o'clock. Chase and Big Joe will be back on from 9 to 11. But for one more day, Chase and Big Joe live from the Omni Nashville Hotel from 12 to 3. Coming up next on behalf of our soon-to-be Hall of Famer, Derek Mason. Be loved. Love on your people. Have a wonderful weekend. Congratulations, Derek. We look forward to talking to you all again at 11 o'clock on Monday. Peace.